Well, good morning to each one. I feel better this morning than I did last night when I, to put it simply, I guess I got very, very weary. Probably stayed up a little too late last night, but you know what I was doing? I was digging in the wells that I talked about yesterday again. I'm getting blank stares. What was that verse in Proverbs? Somebody quote it for me. I don't have it here in front of me, but he that hath understanding will draw it out. Wisdom is in the... somebody help me. It's not coming. Wisdom is in the heart of a man, but a man of understanding will draw it out of him. Something of that nature. So I was drawing wisdom out. And I was very blessed with, wanted to say amen to Brother Mark's words yesterday. We were actually just before his message, I was sitting talking with another brother in the back, and I had made the comment something to the effect of, many of the people that I stood in Bible school with also aren't where I want to be. And we were just pondering that, why is that? And I shared some thoughts, and I think Brother Mark's thoughts were very, his message was very pertinent. I think I'm still trying to learn this little statement. We're not as spiritual as we think we are. You aren't as spiritual as you think you are. Sorry. I am not as spiritual as I think I am. And I mean that. There's a tendency to trust my opinions and my perspectives. Because I'm seeing from my perspective, and here's the wisdom and perspective, and so from my perspective... This really is the way it is. And you know what? It's just not sometimes. We're not as spiritual as we think we are, and we need each other. Worse than we think we do. Excuse me. This mic doesn't allow me to get away from it, does it? A little bit, maybe. So anyway, I don't say that just to you. I say that to myself. So... I feel a little lopsided. I'm going to make these comments. I feel a little lopsided as we look at the Word, and I'm encouraging you to dig into it and study it, and I by all means do. But keep this in the back of your mind. I'm sharing it a lopsided message because you by yourself and me by myself is not as safe as we think it is. You know what I mean? And the older you get, I'm not old, but I keep seeing that. You know what? The perspective I had, whether it's 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or yesterday, and I hear another perspective and I realize, that wasn't as balanced as I thought it was. So I just say that in light of what we're looking at. I still believe what I'm saying. Dig in. God wants to be your teacher. But remember, you and me by ourselves, we're not as spiritual as we think we are. Can I give that as a prelude? So... I think Brother Mark is helping us see that yesterday, and I think I might have seen the title of today sitting on his lap. The paper was on his lap, and I might have seen the title today, and I think it's the same principle that I'm trying to say. We need others. Can we pray? Father, we're very thankful to get to be together here today. Would you bless my words, please? Help my words. You know, as I already said, in a sense, they don't feel balanced. But thank you that other brothers will balance them. But Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you, the living God of the universe, wants to express yourself to me and to each of us. And you've given us your word. Would you bless my mind and words this morning to stimulate and help my brothers and sisters here in front of me to see the beauty, the preciousness of your word, and to dig in, to love it, and apply it to our lives. So we're asking, Father, again, just please be with us. guide my words and my thoughts. And the hearts and minds and ears of the listeners. Amen. Please, if I could encourage you again, take notes, okay? I'm going to go over a whole bunch of things so fast, if you don't, you probably won't remember them all today. But I'm just going to start off a little slower here. Oh, my brother, I remember overhearing as a young man, there is a sweetness that comes over my soul by slowly reading over the Word of God for 2 hours every day. And I heard this. I don't know how old I was, in my teens, maybe I was a little older than that, I'm not sure. I no longer have to search for messages to preach to the congregation. I have to decide which one to preach. I've been going through the New Testament, this is still the quote, every month for a few months now, and the fragrance just continues to linger over my soul. And down in my heart, there was something that stirred when I heard that little quote, and I said, God, I want to know what that sweetness lingering over my soul is. I got home, opened up my Bible, I flipped back here to Revelation. It was a different Bible than this. Page numbers, and the New Testament and Old Testament were divided. I think there was 287, if I remember right, pages in the New Testament. Good. 287 divided by 30, 10 works. 10 pages a day, 10, 20, 30, 40. At day 28, 29, I'll be through the New Testament. I started in Matthew. I don't know if it's that morning or if I had a schedule I was working through or what it was, but tackle my 10 pages. You know, as a young man, I didn't take and spend 2 hours like the person I heard say that, the quote from, I didn't spend 2 hours, but down in my heart there was a little burning. It said, I want some of that, what did he say, fragrance lingering over my soul. And so in my little boy way, you know, our children mimic us, and we're supposed to be mimickers. And so my little boys, you know, they want to do it like I do, and my little girls even do, you know, and they copy us as parents. And I took one of my spiritual parents who made that comment and said, I'm going after that. And I began. I didn't spend 2 hours, more like a half an hour. And I read quickly when I started going through the New Testament in a month. What happens is when there's an earnest heart like that, there is a sweetness and a love that can begins to linger over your soul when you think of the Word of God. And I'm not here saying that now you need to take and go through the New Testament every month for a year. I'm not saying that. Sure, that's a good goal to have. But that hunger and that thirst and that love and the blessing that comes over your heart when you make those kind of commitments. Let's open to Acts. You see there, Acts chapter 17. Just a couple of verses before look at the principle here as we before we get a little practical. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And so there in Thessalonica, the apostle Paul and, you know, I don't have it off my top of my head, Silas, yes, Silas, the apostle Paul and Silas were in Thessalonica, had their troubles there, and they went to Berea. People sent them to Berea, okay, they're in a new area. And these Bereans, verse 11, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So the writer here, Luke is the writer, he's saying the ones in Berea he appreciated more than the ones in Thessalonica, and they had something, and this is what they had. In that they received the what? I can still see my word here that I wrote yesterday. They received the word with all readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. This word, they received it, and the way they received it was with readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures, and they searched. They put energy into it. They put diligence in here, and they searched the scriptures, and they did it how often? Thank you. Daily. And they searched daily whether these things were so. I don't know if you remember, I said something about reading the Bible with a question mark. And we might talk about that a little bit more today. They searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Is what this man is saying and what he is preaching, sorry about that, is that so? Is it right? With a question mark, all right? And so they began to search the scriptures. These were more noble than the Thessalonians. Received the word, received it. They did it with readiness of mind. They used their mind and said, all right, let's think about this. And what does this mean to me? How does this apply to me? And they searched the scriptures and they cross-referenced and they said, what did Isaiah say? And what did the other prophets say? And what do we have Moses saying? And they searched the scriptures. Is this so? And they did it daily, consistently, methodically, you might say, earnestly. And they wanted to know if these things were so, and they did it with a question mark. Is this right or not? Jesus said, turn to John chapter 5. Jesus supported the Bereans' concept. In John chapter 5, 39, just jumping in the middle here also, just like the we did with the Bereans, he says, search the scriptures. Jesus is saying, please listen to me. And not only to my words, but search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The verse before says, and ye have not this his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. You don't have the word of God abiding in you because you're not believing me is proof that the word of God is not abiding in you, Jesus is saying. So go search the scriptures. Search them out. You look and you see. They testify of me, Jesus said. These scriptures testify of me. And so just as we begin and we look at searching the scriptures, and how do we do this? And I want to just give some practical ways. And the title here this morning is How to Read and Study the Bible. And this is in no way conclusive. I actually had my title of Suggestions on How to Read and Study the Bible, and I decided that's too long and cumbersome. But that's all that it is. This is not the answers. These are some suggestions. And there are only a few. And I'm sure if we would talk and gather from you all, we could come up with more. But I want to give you some practical suggestions. If you come to the Word of God, like we read yesterday, and like we looked at yesterday, like the people in Ezra's day, in Nehemiah 8 there, like they came to the Scriptures with an earnest, hungry heart, and then all the other 8 points we looked at. If you take that kind of a heart, and the Bereans mimicked that kind of a heart, and you take Jesus' counsel, I want to give you some very practical how-tos today. And we're just going to go through some concepts and ways, and I'd like to give you so many ways that you can't do them all in the first month. But you'll have ways that can stimulate you on how to read and study the Bible. In before we get into that, I want you to just understand two different ways to come at Bible reading and Bible study. The one I'm going to call the intellectual paradigm, and the other is the spiritual paradigm. And it doesn't mean that the intellectual paradigm shouldn't be spiritual and the spiritual paradigm shouldn't be intellectual. But just to try to categorize a little bit, I have met numerous people who have, I'm thinking of one dear brother, who has a very intellectual mind. So when he comes to the scripture, he studies it, and the way he studies it is through analyzation. This cross-reference, and this means this. A plus B equals C. Let's grab this scripture, and we'll create exactly how this works. And we build theologies and ideas. And we're supposed to do that. We need to know what the doctrines of the Bible are and what God wants from us and how we're supposed to live. And so you can come at the Bible from an intellectual concept. And I say, maybe especially to you young men, you need to understand the Bible from an, and maybe my term is poor here, but an intellectual concept. What does it say? What does it mean? How are we going to live it out? So do we really believe in the woman's head veiling or not? And what does God's word say about it? And if it says this, then this, and how does this work out and play this way? And we need to understand the doctrines of the Bible. You need to study the Bible from an what I'm calling an intellectual paradigm. We, with the intellectual paradigm, we look at the Bible through eyes of reason and logic. We probe the text, its context, its setting, its author. We cross-reference. We get other men's thoughts. We look at Bible dictionaries, all looking for truth and fact that will substantiate and build doctrines. Then upon these doctrines, we seek to find application to our lives, guiding us to live in a biblical way. This is godly and right way of studying the Bible. What does it say? Analytically, we line it out. And this is a very common among all types of Christians. Even the theological seminaries that we feel are extremely unbiblical do that, in a sense, to the Word. They intellectually study, look at, tear apart. The problem with this paradigm, this concept that I'm sharing, is this can be done without being a spiritual man, without being a spiritual woman. We can analyze, tear apart, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but break down the scripture. But I don't want to be negative on that. That is still a necessary part of Bible reading and Bible study. We just need to be careful that it doesn't become a completely intellectual process. And that's what sometimes the loose calling themselves Christians of the world today are doing. They're tearing it apart, breaking it down in an intellectual way. The spiritual paradigm, we don't tear into the text to check it out. We take it at face value. We don't look for other references that say the same thing so much as we seek to find the truth in the words that are in front of us now. God, what are you saying through this text to me now? What does this mean? Do you see what I'm saying? There's a little difference between an intellectual paradigm and a spiritual paradigm. And please don't let those words dichotomize. They work together in the way when done rightly. We meditate on the words and phrases in the spiritual paradigm, spending time thinking about each one. What does it say? What does it mean? We may use different tools for meditation that I will mention. We ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what He is trying to say through these words. It's a spiritual exercise that is a mixture of reading, meditation, prayer. God, what are you saying? What does this mean to me, to my brothers, to my church? Do you see the two paradigms and ways you can look at Bible reading and Bible study? Does that make sense? You can look at it from two different ways. They both should work together, and they both should be a part of our lives. I want to look at, I want to just encourage you also, just some prelude thoughts before we get to some practical things here. When you come to the Word of God, I find it a blessing to use various physical postures. If you're in the study mode, have a desk in front of you, sit at a chair, have your paper there, your books, whatever you're using there, and study. Don't have a sloppy, I'm laying on my bed and your pen pokes through your paper, whoops there, and I don't know. You know how some of those things are. Use a disciplined posture. When you're wanting God to speak to you, get on your knees. Open the Word. Get on your knees and say, God, what does this mean? Use your physical posture to help stimulate your mind, your heart. Physical posture, I find our physical and our spiritual support each other. Use the simple ways to do it if you're sleepy. I've done this many times, if you're using the word to help guide you in prayer, and we'll talk about this more, I'll find some place that's a little higher, and I'll walk. Maybe if I'm a little sleepy. And you walk a little bit, and you grab a phrase, and you ponder it, and Lord, what does that mean? And you pray that phrase, and we'll get into some more of this, but use walking sometimes to stimulate Bible reading and Bible study. Sometimes in preparing for whether it's messages or whatever it is, sometimes you just hit a block wall. Feels like, okay, I'm just not getting anywhere. Things aren't flowing. It's not coming together. And I'll change my posture, get up from my desk, get on my knees, start walking, and physical posture change stimulates me. We're physical people. Use it. Use your physical posture, and you'll find it in the Word. Standing, kneeling, lifting your hands, sitting at your desk, walking, whatever it is, use your physical posture to help stimulate yourself as you look at Bible reading and study. And we've talked about a little bit heart posture, atmosphere. Yesterday we talked about that. Come with a pure heart. It needs to be pure. If you have stuff there, this isn't, if there's problems, there's things between you and God, this isn't going to mean what it ought. Come with an awe and an honor and a worship and a thankfulness. And again, we talked about some of this yesterday. Come with those kind of heart postures. Not just physical postures, but heart postures and a hunger and a thirst and a faith and an expectancy and an excitement. And again, we looked at some of those things yesterday. Repeat those in a sense. I want to encourage another thing. Write. Forgive me if I say write and you type or you record digitally. I'm not being anti that. I type some of my thoughts too sometimes. Excuse me. So if I say write, I don't mean it has to be pen and paper. If you type or if you record in some other way, that's fine. But do those things. I know many of you have better memories than I do, but I have a file drawer and a box and I'm not as organized as I want, but I've tried to have a little bit of an organization, and I'll flip back through papers I wrote 20 years ago, studies I did. What was my heart on that? You know what? I think years ago I looked at that and I had some thoughts, and I go digging trying to find it. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's a good point. Those kind of things, write your thoughts, your studies, but do it in some sort of organizational way. I have a file drawer with A to Z in it. And so if I'm thinking about surrender, sometimes I can go to S and I'll slide that apart, and there's a surrender thing, and there's thoughts from over the past however many years, and I found something and I stuck it in there. Whether I found a poem and I stuck it in there. Or I had a study on something, or God did a work in my heart and I stuck it in there. Especially you young men, begin to organize a little bit your thoughts. You'll be amazed if you begin pursuing God, studying and reading His Word, and you get blessings that bless your heart. If you write it down, I think you'll be surprised how many times in the future you'll refer back to those things when God spoke to you and you recorded it and you wrote it down, and you'll say, yeah, that's right. And it'll stimulate you again, and it may be an opportunity for you to share sometime. I pull from those kind of things so often. I just thought God was blessing me that day. This was a study I did for myself. And now I'm supposed to share something with you, and I think, you know, back then, and I flip through and I find this. And sometimes I sit there for 15 minutes flipping through this pile of papers that isn't organized, and yes, there it is. Or I never find it. Sometimes that happens. Young men, write. Record. I started a notebook. Took a notebook. Somebody gave me this encouragement one time. Take a notebook and write on page 1 A, and then skip a couple pages and write B, skip a couple pages and write C, and go through the notebook and do that. Then as you're reading other books, whether it's a biography or it's a devotional, and you say, that is an excellent quote, and it's on contentment, flip to this book that you've made for yourself to see. Write contentment. And then reference the book and page number. And then go back to reading. And what happens is over the years, when you're feeling like, you know what, I feel like I, Whether I need stimulation or God is calling me to share something with people, I'll refer back to that little book and I'll find, see, contentment. Oh yeah, this book on this page. And you flip and there's either an illustration or a quote or a story or a, and it stimulates. What you're doing is you're trying to organize the studies that you do, the thoughts that you have. Use some organization. So there are a few people in the world who are extremely brilliant and have amazing memories and they don't need to do this. There's probably not that many of us in here. I know it was said of some people, I think it was said of Spurgeon, that he would sit there and think and remember, oh yeah, I read something one time, and he would pull up a picture of a page in his mind, and down at the bottom it said 458. Okay, so he'd have to flip to page 458. Yeah, there it is, and he could read it. Most of us don't have that kind of a mind. Write. Record. As you study and as you read, write and record. Use some sort of Bible marking. I do. I guess if there's someone here that is opposed to it and you feel like you're adding to the word to do that, I can accept that. But for me, I write sometimes. Mark, underline, circle, highlight. You can use different colors as you're reading. Take colors. And yellow to me means a little something. Green has to do with a study that will probably reference something else. Blue will be connecting a theme in an area. You know, just begin. You don't have to have it all lined out, but begin creating thought patterns. Underlining is just bringing emphasis. A circle, you know, and just put things like that. Begin in an orderly way as you begin diving into this ocean that is full. Begin in a very orderly way. Guide yourself in those things using markings and colors and recording. Do you get the point? Right. You won't remember it all, but when you write, you can refer back to it. You'll be surprised how many times you'll find yourself doing that. Use a schedule. Use discipline in your Bible reading. Use discipline in it. I gave you this little booklet, and I only put, if you'll flip to the on back, to the part here, and I just put a few in here, and I'm sure many of you have lots of other ideas, but if you flip back here, Bible reading charts and Bible study charts. This one here is the one I had my boys go through the first time they read through the Bible. That way they just mark it off where they've read. And I can encourage them, you know what, let's not start in Leviticus. Let's start, and I give them somewhere. And so they read a chapter in a day, and they mark it off. And then the next day they read it, and you can mark it off. And it's just a simple way to keep track of where you're at. If you've never read all the way through the Bible, do it. You need to start here. And this here is a simple way. If you don't want to do the three chapters a day, reading from Genesis to Revelation, that's fine. You can jump around, finish this book, and then jump over here to this book. And when you feel like you're ready to tackle a Leviticus or something, you know, you go at that, and then you jump to Matthew, and that's okay. But use some discipline, and here's just one way to do it. Many ways, and I know many of you probably have used various ways. So don't get stuck in ruts. Use this as train tracks, if they can be a blessing to you. Here's what is many times called the McShane style of reading the Bible, in this next one here. And what it does is it takes from three or four different genres, you might say, or locations in the Bible per day. And this one will actually get you through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once in a year. Or you can skip the one column and get through the New Testament once, and you know, the whole Bible once. But it grabs so that you're reading one in Genesis, one in Matthew, one in Ezra. So you get the Old Testament, a couple in the Old Testament, in a couple different locations, and you're reading through the New Testament. Use Bible reading, stimulating guidance and discipline on a daily basis. Here's another one, the New Testament in 60 days. I mentioned to you earlier about doing the New Testament in 30 days. Well, here's one that would help you just divide it out and use some discipline to get through the New Testament in 60 days. And so I just stuck, I think only three, is that right? I think just three of these in there. That's right. And there are many, many, many. Use them. Young people, use them. And when I get a little practical, sometimes I feel like coming back and saying, remember, this is the Word of God, and it's precious, and it's beautiful, and it'll change your life. I get so practical, I want to say that every now and then. But I do want to be practical. Okay? Use some everyday discipline in your life. You don't have to use these charts, but I wanted to just give you a few if somebody wants an idea. I mentioned to you a New Testament in a month. Let's just go on here. I'm not going to have yesterday's problem, all right? I'm going to try. use some discipline. Also, use some discipline in a location. Jesus said, when ye pray, go into your closet. Find a closet. And I realize sometimes with large families, it can be a little difficult to have an exact closet. But you think about it, and you stew on it, and you ask God about it, and I think you'll find some corner somewhere that can be your little corner. And there's something about it when you have a little corner, and you get up in the morning. I think I mentioned to you the idea of my teacher waiting on me and going into the little room. As you get up in the morning, or if you have an evening time also, and you enter that, it just helps you take the concept. Okay, I'm here, Father, to meet with you. And you create a little closet for yourself. I was earnest about this as I began pursuing God and in His Word years ago. As I began, there was one time we were traveling as a family. I was living with my family before I was married, and I knew we were going to end up in someone else's house many different places as we traveled. And that's hard on quiet times in the morning. Lord, would you help me find a closet? The closet in the Matthew sense of the word. Help me find a closet. And it was a specific prayer of mine. We got to where we were going, and we were put in a room, and I was put in the same room with two of my brothers. So there was three of us in that room. And we were going to bed, and I walked in, and I thought, all right, Lord, okay, where's my closet tomorrow morning? I need a closet. And I walked over to... There was a couple of doors in the room. Where's this door go? And I remember my prayer, Lord, please, can I have a closet? And I open it up, and here's a closet. And it's not only big enough for me, it's plenty big enough. It's not just a closet to hang your clothes and shoes are on the floor. I don't know if it was almost more of a storage closet. And there wasn't much in it. And there was even a light in it and a light switch. Thank you, Lord. Here's my closet for tomorrow morning. And I went out, and I realized, well, there's a door over here. I wonder, I don't need anything better, but check it out. I had two of them. Thank you, Lord. Earnestly say, Lord, can I have a closet somewhere? Even if it's just a corner, and it's not actually your own personal closet, find a corner where you're comfortable to sit sometimes, stand sometimes, maybe pace back and forth sometimes, get on your knees sometimes. And again, if it can be a closet away from others' eyes, raise your hands sometimes. Read and pray out loud sometimes. There's a blessing in that. And I realize we can't always all have that. But there's a closet principle in the Word of God as we come to Bible reading and study. Search for a closet. And I did briefly mention, do it out loud sometimes. Do. Out loud. I don't think I have ever read the Bible out loud all the way through, so I started the beginning of this year saying, you know what, I'm going to do that. Read it out loud. And when I say out loud, I'm not preaching loud, just quietly reading, but reading in a quiet way. Because I don't know that I've ever read through the whole Bible out loud. I do it off and on many times, but do that. It's stimulating. It's helpful, especially if there's sleepiness or mind wandering, or read it out loud in a quiet way. It's not for the whole house. 5 different ways to read the Bible. Just thinking of Bible reading. Number 1, read the Bible as a story. I think there's a slot for you to write that in your book somewhere. Read the Bible as a story. Well, let's see here. I'm looking at my papers, not matching up with my notes, is it? Okay, you're going to have to. I'm just looking at the booklets you have, and I'm sorry, it's going to be a little bit differently. Okay, number 0. because your number one's different. Number zero, read the Bible. Sorry, stick it in there somewhere. You only have four and I have five. Zero, read the Bible as a story. And that is the most common way people read the Bible. Simply put, you read it. When you read a story, you don't stop and reread a sentence. You don't go read it over here and then read it over here and then read it over here and grab a little here. No, you just start at the beginning and you begin to read. And that's what I was encouraging you with those Bible reading plans. Read it as a story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and you just begin reading. Whether it's Genesis or it's Matthew or it's, and you read, God, I want to know what you say. That is a wonderful way to read. If you read it in your mother tongue, you instantly, or some of you maybe it's not your total mother tongue, but we speak English, you instantly understand at least 99% of the words, and you read over them and you move on and you get what it's saying on the surface level and you just read on. That's an excellent way to read the Bible. Do it that way. Make sure you consistently do read the Bible as a story and you just read it. And the more you read it, the more things start to fall in place and connections and understandings. Read the Bible as a story. Number two, read the Bible meditatively. Number one. Oh my, I'm going to get you all confused, aren't I? Let me just mark this out. I'm going to make the numbers like yours. Hopefully I won't do that again. Number one, because we had zero. Number one, read the Bible meditatively. You take this and you take time to it. As I was traveling here, it's a little hard to read the Bible as you're traveling as a story. So I was reading it meditatively. And I opened up, I think it was Psalm, it was random. I'm just traveling and my mind was wandering and I said, well here, let me direct it. And I opened up and I started reading, I think it was Psalms. Yeah, it was verse 11, chapter 41. That's not the point here. But I started reading, by this I know that thou favorest me. And I grabbed that verse and I'm driving. Lord, by this I know that thou favorest me. You favor me. And there's a reason that is going to be said in the Psalms here that you favor me. Okay, how do you favor me? Well, let's see. Because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. By this I know that you favor me, because your enemy isn't triumphing over me. God, thank you. The enemy isn't triumphing over me. I'm walking in victory. I have needs, I have weaknesses, but I'm walking and the enemy is not triumphing over me. You favor me. Thank you, God. See, I'm taking that phrase and I'm reading it meditatively, praying, thinking about it, pondering. I went on, and as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity. God, do I have integrity? You uphold me in my integrity. What does that mean? And settest me before thy face forever. Wow. Enemies aren't triumphing, you're favoring. You know, and so I just ponder this in my life, and I'm reading the Word of God, pondering it in a meditative way. You read it with a prayerful attitude. Heart condition and preparation is hugely key in this style of reading the Bible. If questions or desire to study something comes by, and you're saying, no, I want to stick with just pondering this, have a piece of paper beside you and jot it down. You know, I'd like to dig into this. Jot it down, put it aside, and keep going. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Yes, Lord, blessed be your name from everlasting. Everlasting? That way. Everlasting in the future. Everlasting in the past. Wow. Blessed be your name, Lord, forever and ever. Oh, yeah, ever that way. Just ponder, meditate, pray, praise. Read the Bible meditatively. You're not going to get through many chapters a day. I honestly think the quote that I mentioned to you at the beginning, oh, brother, there's a sweetness that comes over my soul. I actually think he was reading through the New Testament every month meditatively. And that's why it took him 2 hours a day. Again, I didn't have the maturity, maybe time. I don't know if I had ever had the time. It was probably back then. And I didn't do that, you know, for 2 hours. I began reading it as a story through the New Testament in a month as a story, not necessarily meditatively. But read the Bible, number one here, meditatively. As you slowly read, ask yourself the question, what does this mean to me? What does this mean to me? I read this verse or this phrase, what does it mean to me? And ponder it and move on to the next one. And what is God trying to say here? What's the point he's trying to get across? I believe that this type of meditation is a hidden secret for the heart hungry for God that is many times forgotten. This little secret has been a powerhouse, has a powerhouse of blessing hidden inside of it, so much so that I will probably share on this some more tomorrow. Reading the Bible meditatively. Number two in yours, 0, 1, 2, read the Bible topically. A third way here, number two, read the Bible topically. Choose a topic that is on your heart. Lord, I have pride that I see in me. I want to ponder humility and pride. So you choose a place. If you're going through the New Testament once a month, it's a wonderful time to do that. And so this month, you're going to read through the New Testament, and I'm going to look at humility, or if you're going to do it in 2 months. And so then as you begin in Matthew, you take the heart concept and mindset in the back of you with a pen and a paper beside you. I'm looking for things that will relate to pride and humility. And when you read across something, there, that verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You'll find before this one, but this is the one that comes to me in Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, Matthew 5:3. Whether you want to write the verse out or you want to write the reference and then write a thought about it, whatever you want to do, and then move on. All right. And then keep going. And you read on in Matthew, and then you're going to come to another one. Blessed are the meek. Meek. Yeah, meekness relates with pride. What are you saying in that? And you jot down Matthew 5, you know, and put the reference there. Keep going. And so if you take that concept, what will happen day by day by day, as you open the Bible, you will have a heavy slant towards pride, humility. I'm just using that as an example. And so you will read, again, if you take the New Testament, or you can simply take Proverbs. Lord, what does Proverbs say about, and then there's a topic. Read the Bible topically. The tendency is we try to go for Neve's topical Bible. Hey, let's fix this and do this real fast. And by the way, conforming to the image of his son through the word is not just one of those fast deals, though I use Neve's sometimes. Rather than pulling it off and looking up pride and it gives you a whole bunch of verses, you make your own commentary on, again, I keep using pride and humility. Pick another one. What do you see in, what about this thing of surrender? Really, God, what do you say about this? Or servanthood. What do you say about servanthood, Lord? What do you say about authority? Anyway, I'm throwing all these out, but just grab one and decide to focus on it, whether it's 1 week, 1 month, or the book of Proverbs, or the book of Ephesians, or the New Testament, or whatever it is, or Exodus. You can grab anything and read the Bible topically. And again, have a separate notebook. I keep saying notebooks. If you want to type it or however you do it, that's fine too. But have a separate notebook that you record this. Don't just grab any old piece of scrap paper you found laying around that has your brother or sister scribbles on it too. Don't do it. Get yourself a notebook. You can afford a $2 notebook or whatever it is. A new one, a fresh one. God, would you fill it up with your word? And what you're doing in my heart with your word. I should move on. Reading the Bible. Yes, I should. Topically. Number three. Our fourth point, which is number three. Read the Bible journaling. This here, you're not looking at a particular topic, but you're reading the Bible. And that means this side of the room too, by the way. Journaling isn't just for this side. Okay? Right? Thank you. Read, at least one of you agrees with me, read the Bible journaling. And so you're going to have another booklet. And you can afford that too, $2-3. Another booklet that you begin and you take like I did possibly there with Matthew, have a schedule. Whether you use a read-through schedule or you're saying, I want to read through a certain portion, that's fine, but give yourself some discipline and schedule and have a journal beside you, and so you begin to read. What am I looking for here? Journal your thoughts. Journaling your thoughts helps clarify and cement principles that you're learning into your mind and heart. You'll remember them longer. You'll think about them more. Oh, I think I was going to refer to, here's one way I've suggested just after the Bible reading charts. Here's, again, a suggestion for you. Some of you will laugh and say, wait a minute, I need 2 pages for one morning. Okay. Some of you just, maybe especially us men here, maybe just this is enough. A little slot here. And all of these, if you want a digital copy or something, just let me know. I think my email address, phone number, all that's in here. I'd be happy to email you digital copies if you want something to print it out yourself, make it bigger, whatever. This is for reference, photocopying, whatever you want to do. But here it is, Monday. What's the scripture you're reading? And you're listening, and there's some questions up there. We don't have time to go through those. The questions you can ask yourself as you're reading. You're not going to get as much reading done as when you read as a story. You won't, unless you have more time, because it takes a little time. But you read a set of verses or a chapter, or if you want to go as slow as one verse, that's up to you. And then you say, okay, Lord, what's that mean? What am I thinking? And you just start writing. I'm thinking this. What does that mean to my life? What are you saying? How could I share that with so-and-so? And just write. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking about? And write it down. What's God trying to get across? If nothing speaks to you, okay, what is God trying to get across to us through this passage? And write it down. Journaling through the Bible. This is more meditation speed than story speed. You know what I mean? Story speed, again, is a good speed, a right way to read the Bible. But with journaling, you're going meditation speed, and you're processing deeper and more, and you write some of your thoughts down. Again, I realize some of you are a whole lot better memories and smarter and all that, but sometimes I have this jumble of feelings, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. All right, and so you write a little bit. I think some of this comes in. I think some of this comes in. I think some of this comes in. Start writing it down. It begins to make sense. And that's what happens sometimes when you take the Word of God and you read the Bible journaling. And you'll be surprised at the blessing that will settle over your heart as you begin to take notes. You can journal at the end of your reading time. Just read your 3 chapters and then say, okay, what stuck out to me? You can do that. Or you can read a half of a chapter and write some thoughts. Many different ways it can be done. And number 4, point 5, number 4, read the Bible repetitively. This point here merges a little bit as we look at Bible study in the next portion here today. And I give some practical things on that. But read the Bible repetitively. It can merge a bit with Bible study, but for example, choose a book of the Bible, and I'm just going to throw out Philippians to you. I dug into Philippians for some reason as a young man. I don't know if I can remember why. Maybe if I went back and read some of my notes and studies, I could figure it out. But Philippians stuck out to me, and I spent a good bit of time in memorization and study of Philippians. But for example, reading the Bible repetitively, for example, say every day I'm going to read Philippians either once or twice. For a month, I'm going to look at Philippians. And so day one, and I'm just going to say you're only reading through it once a day. If you want to do morning and evening, if you want to do it twice in a row, that's up to you. For the example, illustration, you're going to read through Philippians every day for a month. The first week, just read it. Just read it. Every day, read through it. Slowly as you read through it, time and time and time again, things will stick out to you. In that first week, use a little bit of circling. A little bit of underlining. If you're a journal person, write some thoughts. Scribble a little on the side of your Bible, in a paper, in a notebook beside, whatever. That first week, though, just read it. Noting, circling, underlining a little bit. Second week, things begin sticking out to you a little more as you've read it 7 times and you're starting to work on 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. These verses kind of group together. These verses kind of have thoughts. And these verses kind of stick together. He's changing his thought here. And so what I would do at times is I would take in the margin of my Bible, you know, and go from in between verse 2 and 3, so to speak, and put a line all the way across the margin. And that means, if you see that in my Bible, that means it feels to me like there's a little change of thought. So you've read through Philippians. Now you're working on number 8, number 9. You know what? I think there's a little bit of a thought change here. Mark it. A little bit of a thought change here. Mark it. You're working on the 10th, the 11th, the 12th time. Divide things out and even start saying, what is he trying to get across in this? And put little headings up there above that line that you just put across there. So everything below that line kind of has to do with what? Oh, he's talking about being joyful amid difficulties. Or he's talking about counting all but loss for Christ. And just put little headers up there. So now you're working on, now you go into week 3. Week 3, reading it every day. Focus a little more on meditating on each topic. All right, so I've broken this down a little bit, and now what's he trying to say in this topic? And so this third week, you're still reading through it every day, one time a day, but you kind of begin focusing on, yeah, that's right, here's a topic, and you're meditating on that topic where you've divided it, and maybe you even want to start writing down other things that stick out to you, and what's the writer trying to get across to us? The fourth week, now you're at 24th time you're reading through this on a daily basis, begin asking yourself questions. Lord, what does this mean to me? How should this change my life? Is there a way I could bless someone else with this thought or principle? This is what I'm calling reading the Bible repetitively. You're taking Philippians and you're saying, I'm going to spend a month on it. You take the Sermon of the Mount and you want to spend a month on it. But take a doable portion that you can go over and over and over and over again. And as you saturate yourself, the heart and burden and theme and of the book comes out, and it affects you that month. And it guides your thoughts and prayers and mind. And that was on reading the Bible. Okay, there were 5 ways on Bible reading. Is one better than the other? Are there other ways? Absolutely. I'm not pushing that. But I just wanted to give you ideas. Many of you, probably most of you, have mostly done reading the Bible as a story, right? That's the common way. And that's excellent. But I wanted to throw out these other ways to stimulate you and excite you. Maybe one of them caught your eye. Do it! God, show me a new way to read your word and get some depth out of what you're saying to us. So I just wanted to throw out some of those ideas. And again, as I said, I'm sure there are others. Let's move on. Bible study. This is not point number one, but foundational point. Bible study. Start. Right? Just start. My first Bible study. I remember I went to my father. I was in a room with my brothers. We put a little dresser kind of between our beds to try to give me a little bit of privacy. The room was big enough to do that. I went to my father and I said, Daddy, I want to study the Bible, but I don't know. What should I study? What do I do? I was kind of at a loss. What do I do? How do you do this? He said, Mick, there was a family attending our church at that time who had just come. I don't know how long they had been attending. They didn't understand the concept of the two kingdoms clearly. Non-resistance is the one my father brought to me. He says, Mick, why don't you study that? There's this family, and they don't believe and understand non-resistance. Why don't you study that? Okay. So, next morning, I guess it was morning, maybe afternoon, I don't remember what it was. All right, non-resistance, okay. And so I begin scrambling, and I probably should have brought them along to show you. I still have those notes. Little papers like the notebooks back there. Probably 2 or 3 of them. And what it is I wrote a scripture reference, and then I wrote the verse out. And I found another scripture, and I wrote the verse out. And I probably had 5 or so scriptures that I wrote the verses out. And that was my first official Bible study. Start. It wasn't a flop. It was wonderful. I wouldn't have had a message to share with you all on non-resistance. But I begin, and I began to see, God, what do you say about non-resistance? So begin. I'm going to just throw out resources. I don't know how many of you use books versus apps and electronic devices. I'm going to throw out some resources that I used and still use. I should look and see what you have on your papers. How much am I reading to you and how much am I... Okay, yes, you have some things there. Notebook, take notes so I can just roar over this. Organize your notes. Use a particular notebook. I already talked about that a little bit. Excuse me. I use eSword. It's an application that is free and simple, and someone actually gave me a Logos, and so I've used that some. Someone gave me something there, but eSword works very well. I don't have time to go into this. I think most of you know how Strong's, Vines, TSKK, Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. It is basically a center column reference expansion, and I appreciate it. To me, it is a commentary on the Bible of the Bible itself, the Bible's commentary on itself. Every phrase and sometimes word of the Bible has a handful of references, and you just go at it. Okay, here's a phrase in the Bible. Where else does it use that phrase? And this Treasury of Scripture Knowledge is the long term for TSK there. I appreciate it. It's very common with eSword and other applications. It's a very common source. I got the book form as a young man, and it's a book as big as your Bible, and all it is almost is scripture references for every little phrase of the Bible. I appreciate it. It just gives you references. It just kind of gives you other places to go on this phrase or this word or this topic. And sometimes you're thinking a different topic than the person who put this together is, and so you're scratching your head, how's that connect? Oh, he was thinking down another avenue. But I find many different references there. An English dictionary, a Bible dictionary, you want to know what, you know, where was Jerusalem, and, you know, there's maps, and so I'm going to go quickly here. Englishman's Greek Concordance, again, with an application. What an Englishman's Greek Concordance does is gives you the Greek word and then all the places the Greek word was used instead of all the places the English word was used. When you look up, I'm sorry, two words that came to me. The first one was fat, and that'll be too long, and the next one was non-resistance, and that one won't be there. Joy in Strong's. And you have all the verses where joy is used. But over on the side, there's the Greek, you know, and sometimes it comes from different Greek words. The Englishman's Greek Concordance takes the Greek word and gives you all the places that Greek word was used and sometimes translated in various ways into English. If you have more questions, ask me. We'll move on. I appreciate that. You can do a... What are we going to do? I did still go too slow at the beginning. You can do a word study, and I was going to do a simple word study with you on the board and a verse study, and then I was going to do a group study. I did have my expectations too high. When you do a word study, it means we're taking one word in the Bible, and I used joy earlier, and we're saying, all right, where are other places, and that's going to be a big one, that is used in the Bible, and then we try to take that word, looking it up in various places in the Bible, and we want to know what it says, and what's it say around it. We'll also probably look up in Strong's the Greek meaning. What is the Greek definition of it? And then I would also look up, where is that Greek word used other places? I think this isn't going to work too fast here. Word study, verse study. Do you see these forms in the back? I wanted to give a few of these to you. After your Bible reading charts, some of you have probably seen some of these. I'm going to just let you flip through them. What they are is a form to help give you guidance. I have a little thing I call Disciple. I mentioned it on the back of the front cover. And one of the things, the requirements of this little Disciple program is giving direction on Bible studies. And so one of the things I'll do, if we're doing a study, for example, on purity, I'll say, study the life of Joseph and use the biographical study form. And you're supposed to study the life of Joseph. And with this form, it just gives you a little direction. Name Joseph, scripture references. Where do we find information about Joseph? Dig in your word and find all the references about Joseph. You're going to find in Genesis 30s, in the upper 30s, you're going to find quite a few chapters, but look and see if you can find other places in the Bible where there are references. I've enjoyed this even with, take something like Epaphroditus. Do a study on Epaphroditus. And you use this form, again, Joseph, whoever it is. So first impressions, then number three here, you're going to fill in first impressions and observations. What sticks out to you as you've read these verses, you've found the information you can find about him. What are your first impressions and observations? Then go down number four, outline of his or her life. So what did they do? What happened first? What happened second? And you create a timeline or an outline of their life. You come over here and you go general insights, and I believe there's actually a form someone filled out on Stephen. If you go back here, it's just in small. I just squished it to not take up so much room. And it's an example of someone who did a biographical study on Stephen, and this is how they filled out the chart. And this gives you an example of what someone did, and you take someone's life, Joseph, Epaphroditus, Stephen, and you fill out this chart following the direction that it gives you. General insights, and if you want to know what the headings mean, that's why there's a breakdown later of what someone else did filling this in. Character qualities identified. What were some of Joseph's character qualities? You've already spent a little time on his life breaking down till you get to this point. There'll be some character qualities that stand out to you. What are they? And put the references beside it. What are those character qualities? Number seven, Bible truths illustrated in his or her life. A little bit overlapping there. But usually each life, there's something that will stand out in various lives, and you'll learn from that. A summary, number eight, of the lessons learned from his or her life. Just keep going, filling this out. Personal application now, to me. Transferable concepts, ways I can share this with others, and someone, excuse me, whom I intend to share some thoughts with, and who am I going to share, and how am I going to share. And so what it is you say, I want to learn about Joseph, Stephen, Epaphroditus, whoever it is. Don't tackle the Apostle Paul on your first study. Use a small one, okay, that's graspable, and dig in. And that's why I even threw out Epaphras or Timothy, or where you don't have a lot of information, you have to go digging. But when you have voluminous amounts of information, that's pretty hard. Those are more difficult studies, so use a little smaller person. That's a biographical study form to help you say, God, I want to study your word and do a biographical study. Flip on back. You see the example of the biographical form. Oh, here's a character quality. Well, then after you do a study on someone's life and you say, I really appreciate this character quality in them, take this character quality study form and work through it. Fill it out. Write. Think. Process. Study. Read. There's an example of that one also. I'm going to stop at that as far as looking at these forms. You get the idea, and you get the concept of using these forms as a guide for you in studying the Bible. And that's why I gave you all of this, because there's no way I could say all of that and you would get it and understand it. I would like to do something just quickly with you. The very last one, I have what I call in the very back of the book, inductive Bible study, and that's broken down, and I give a little explanation there, broken down into various ways of doing it, but I thought, let's just do it together, and I want you all to see, in a smaller group, it's a little better because you're a little more free to share. So I'll see how free you are to speak up here. Oh, there it is. But I'm going to take what I have found a tremendous blessing in a broad sense of the word with a small group to study the Bible in a group setting. I was going to move on to the group setting here. I'm just flying over the end like I've been doing this week, right? So we're going to have three questions that we're going to ask the text in this inductive Bible study. You'll find frequently people use observation, interpretation, application. I'm going to make it a little more simple, and I'm going to say, what does it say is question number one. Oops. What does it mean? And you'll find this on that back form in the very back of your book here. And I'm going to do a more simplified version. And what does it mean to me? And this can be done personally. but it's very stimulating in a group. And we're going to take a scripture. Let's say we'll take, everyone turn just quickly to 2 Peter. Where's the verse? Let's go to the verse, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Where is that here in Peter? Someone have that in front of them? I should have written that down. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Thank you. Okay, we're going to study as a group in a very small nutshell here. We're going to study 1 Peter 2, 2. I want us to ask these questions, and these questions go along with what we have here, observation, interpretation, application. This is observing it, the text. This is interpreting the text, and this is applying the text. And so what does it say in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby? So for time and everything, one verse. What does it say in that verse? Give me some truths that if all we had in the Bible was that one verse, what are some truths we can get out of that? Just start stating some simple facts. You're stating the obvious. Or you might see something deeper than the obvious. Either way, but go ahead. What are some truths? Desire. Okay, so we are supposed to desire. Okay. We should desire. Good, go ahead. Someone else.
Be hungry.
Thank you. Be hungry.
Grow thereby.
Grow. Keep going.
Eat so that we grow.
Okay. Eat. To grow. Go ahead. Go a little further. You're sticking on one little phrase there. Move on down later on. Let me throw one out. The milk has word. Get it? The word has milk. Word has milk. Okay? There's milk in the word. Something else it says. Okay. Eat like babies. All right. Okay. The word is sincere. Thank you. Word is sincere. What's another term for that word sincere? The word is earnest. Is that the context of that word? I would have to look it up. Somebody have, what's that?
Pure,
thank you. I think that's right. So the word is sincere or pure. Good. Okay, we're going to stop here. What does that mean, that we should desire the word? What's that mean? Real, practically, what's it mean? Sorry?
To go after.
Go after? Let me give you what I'm trying to get at here. When we go from say to mean, what it means is love to read the Bible, right? Study, saturate, meditate, whatever you want to put in there. That's what it says. Desire the sincere milk of the word. That's one thing that it means. An interpretation of this would mean love to study the Bible. Be hungry. What's that mean? It might overlap here a little bit, but somebody have a thought. What's that mean? Be hungry.
To long for?
Yeah. That means, do you long for what we've been talking about this morning? Have I been able to stir in the past couple of days a long for of this? You know, be hungry. Here we put love. Long for it. Do you long for it? This is actually a command. Is that the way you live? Let's go on. Grow. What does that actually mean? Okay. Well, that means there's going to be changes in my life. Okay. So when I read this and I long to read it and I have a hunger for it, there should be changes that happen in my life. Wow. Okay. Let's go on. Time's pushing us on. Eat to grow. Okay, this is going to be similar. Does anybody have another thought other than this one? More changes. Thank you. I can handle that. All right. Word has milk in it. What's that mean? Okay, sure. Life has life. Little bit more practical. Or do we wait till over here? Because that gets even more practical. That's all right. We can do that. Another thought. Life, nourishment. We could go on down here. Eat like babies. Word is sincere, pure. Okay, we can keep going. Time's sake. Love to study the Bible. What does that mean to you? To you. What's it mean? Lord, that's where I'm at. I just need to keep going. Is that what it means? Or does it mean, you know what?
Get up
earlier. Okay. Excellent. Some of you, it means get up earlier. Absolutely. What's it mean to somebody else? Okay. First priority, what's that mean real practically? It doesn't mean earlier to you. What's it mean? It might mean, I will stop reading, and you fill it in. Whatever magazine or book you were reading, you realize, you know what? Don't need it. It's not going to feed me the right way. We're overlapping here, aren't we? Do you see what I'm doing? Okay, that's enough on that. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? And in a group setting, it can be very stimulating. I think we got just a little bit stimulated here, didn't we? Wow. Thank you, Lord. And we're taking the Word of God and we're breaking it down into, and I want to emphasize, this here, that's sometimes the hard part. If we had enough time, I think you'd find out, we'll have answers here, and the more we do this, the more free we'll be. We'll fill these out. Then when we come over here, But you know what here? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where change is to happen. Bible study in an inductive way. And I just did a fast one, and I didn't even use all the options as you see in this last chart. What else do you have on your notes? I can skip some things. You'll never know it's there. Yeah, I think we'll... You take parables and stories, and there's another way to come at it in a group setting. What does it say about God? What does it teach us about man? What does it teach us about God? What are the character traits? What could have they done if they would have done this? What would have been the result? Anyway, we don't have time to go to some of those. Okay. Young people, what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. I just wanted to give you some very practical how-tos and hands-on this morning. Just a dabble. Can I somehow show you the excitement of this and what it can do? How it can change our life? How it can mold us? How exciting it is if we take the Word of God, and I wanted to be very practical today and say, here's some different ways to read the Bible. Here's some ways to study the Bible. And I know we just glazed over and could have gone much deeper in many of the aspects. And yeah, I'd be happy to encourage more if I can in some way. So you let me know, but get excited. The exact how-tos are just to stimulate you and excite you and begin you on a journey or help push you on your journey with your journey and the Bible. Father, bless these dear young people. Thank you for your word, Lord. Your communication from God to man. And not only your Bible word, but the living word, Jesus, came and lived it. And we have a record of it in the Bible. Thank you, Father. Would you help us to value it? Thank you for stimulating my own heart here this morning. I want to love your word more. Help me, Lord, to in a disciplined way. You know, Lord, these things, they stir and they're exciting, and yet they still take
dogged determination and discipline. Help these young people to dig in and do it. Amen. I was going to give you 10 minutes to answer your questions. I guess if you don't have time, I didn't realize you had your study time where you can maybe discuss these questions among you. So, yeah. Thank you for your patience with me. I do love this book, at least a little bit. And I hope that some of that can be a blessing to you, as I know you love this book at least a little bit. But let's love it more.